part of the paper. So you'll excuse me that what I will present will be a somewhat compacted version of what will hopefully appear in print. So not everything is being discussed today. Just the core, if you like. Lake Tyrrell. In the semi-arid mallee of northwest Victoria, is unprepossessing at first sight. It's a vast, stark salt pan. Surrounded by eroding hills, sand and salt bush. It's associated with a pre-colonial story, though, that evokes a vision that's apparent only when the land cannot be seen. And that is at night. 19th century squatter William Edward Stanbridge reported the local Burong tribe, he called them that, were specialists in studying the night sky, reflected in the seasonally filled shallow waters of Lake Tyrrell. It seems the Burong shared the outlook of most pre-moderns in supposing a correspondence between heaven and earth. The relative location of stars imitated the arrangement of landscape features. Attributes of the night sky were emulated in the stories of their terrestrial correlates. It's a relationship modern ethnographers would interpret as representing a sacred reciprocity of sky with country. Today the heavens remain essentially unchanged, and as Paul Carter has written, in their proper places. But the lake and its environs, cleared of its indigenous people in the 19th century and its native vegetation in the 20th, is a humanly and ecologically impoverished zone. The heavens are left to mirror the lands it might be remembered, not as it has become. It's a kind of double reflected loss, the absence of an intact ecological surface and the undoing of an imagined pairing or reciprocity of earth with sky. Though of uncertain ethnographic authenticity, the Burong Star Law story offers a powerful contemporary metaphor for environmental change. For me, it suggested the question, could the Lake Tyrrell ecological tragedy, and by association the world's, be evoked through the lake's poetic repairing with the heavens in photographs created by starlight on site? That is, could the lake surface once again become a focal or optical plane, mirroring and thus reciprocating the heavens? Such a repairing would be an imagined syzygy, a word meaning a yoking together or alignment of two or more objects or celestial bodies. Now, the project syzygy reflected upon the Burong story of a sacrament and its loss by turning the lake bed into an imaging surface, a focal plane, upon which photographic films, analog materials, were exposed directly to the ambient light of the stars without a camera. The concept was simple. Find or create a set of terrestrial and astronomical images on a transparent base and contact print these on fresh photographic materials exposed to ambient starlight falling on the surface of Lake Tyrrell. A year and a half of fieldwork produced the earthly set. Photographic shotograms on large sheets of low-speed orthochromatic emulsion, gilt and silver film, recording live native invertebrates and reptiles gathered from around Lake Tyrrell and exposed to flash at night on site. These are live creatures, not dead. The other set, the celestial negatives, were borrowed astronomical survey photographs on glass plate. The starlight exposures were then executed at a site at the northern tip of the lake, most distant from light pollution. The sky-facing shadow films were exposed to ambient starlight under their... under their respective pre-prepared negatives, laid after dusk on tarpaulins, pegged to the lake bed in daylight. Many shadow films were exposed simultaneously to ensure a predominance of starlight. Exposures were restricted to a few clear, dark nights each month, free of the reflected sunlight of the moon and bright planets. Some 270 films were exposed to the stars in 15 events over 3.5 years. A chance conveying of the Burong story by independent author, artist and scholar Paul Carter inspired the Syzygy story and the project idea. And physicist and lecturer in science education, astrophysicist should I say, and lecturer in science education at the Melbourne Graduate School, University of Melbourne, Dr. Maurizio Toscano was my principal scientific collaborator. The project was enabled by funds provided under Arts Victoria's Arts Innovation Project process and the Australia Council for the Arts Inter-Arts Grants Programs. Syzygy is the most recent example of nearly two decades of practice by me in which I speculate upon the possibility of art manifesting what I call an ecological gaze. This ecological gaze is an aesthetic stance, attentive to ecological entities, processes and relations, framed within a self-reflexive response to the non-human. The ecological gaze draws on a range of ethical, aesthetic and philosophical critiques of the place of nature in Western culture, whilst necessarily privileging nature endorsing, as Soper says, that is, empiricist, environmentalist, over nature sceptical, some postmodern positions. The overarching intent of an ecological gaze is a poetic engagement with the ecological as phenomena or fact and affect, feeling. Prime among facts and affects, foregrounded by an ecological gaze, is a world undergoing unprecedented anthropogenic ecological destruction. I'd rather say destruction than change. I think that's more accurate. In the popular sense of nature, not human and distinguished from the work of humanity, what Bill McKibben dubbed the end of nature on Earth is imminent, and the once secure ontological binary man-nature, man/nature, appears increasingly spurious. That this may be regarded as a tragedy is one aspect of the ecological gaze. To apprehend land by means and ways other than to picture it via habitual ocular tropes is one possible approach to an ecological gaze. A key to uncovering such a way of seeing may lie in photography's distinctive claim to authority, its indexical character. This response to an external reality is normally optically mediated, so that photography is almost always understood as an eyewitness. Its indexical authority is located in the appearance of the image outcome, its iconic likeness representation. The relationship, the material relationship to the world intrinsic to the act of light capture, the material imprint is generally backgrounded. It is this index of physical contiguity, as Peirce had said, with the world conjured by cameraless photography in particular, such as contact printing and the shadowgram, more than likeness making, that I feel in particular lends itself to art produced within an ecological gaze. In considering the representation of ecological tragedy in particular, the germane ocular device was considered by me not to be a morbid iconography of revealed by reflected light, if you like, images of destruction, but an elegiac index of shadows. Syzygy staged two species of indexical shadow, preliminary and negative photograms made of found living creatures, recorded on film under flashlight, you've seen some of those, and the imprints of starlight passing through these and astronomical glass plate photographs onto unexposed emulsion, forming the final artworks. Both imprinted and the world under cover of darkness as shadows made in shadow, implicating an eclectic, a dark ecology, as Timothy Morton has said, of references, Plato's cave, negation, erasure, the atomic light, body imprints of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Jelton Silver proffers peculiar attributes, poetic attributes. Recording the faint nocturnal light of the universe, which is what I've done, generated extreme reciprocity failure, that is, reduced sensitivity in the Silver emulsion, compensated for on site by exposures extended to almost an hour. An intentional optical decoupling, symbolic of the narrative of broken reciprocation between Earth and sky. To cultural theorist Roland Barthes, silver photographs are literally an emanation of the referent. He mused that if photography belonged to a world with sensitivity to myth, we should exalt over a precious metal, silver. Like all the metals of alchemy, is alive. Syzygy recorded the flesh-lit shadows of once living creatures and invertebrates and star pictures remade with congealed starlight. There is pathos intrinsic to these images, as in all photographs, but it is a pathos redoubled when we recall that even at the time of exposure, the starshine heralded long-gone objects. Even without alchemy, these are images enlivened by fossil light. Syzygy's mute emanations resist what Walter Benjamin argued to be the usual draining of aura, fetishized preciousness materially connected to origination, in the reproduced or reproducible artwork, especially photographs. Their possible auratic power derives at once from their originality as an index of traces, but also from what Deleuze, echoing Barthes, once called the fossil nature of photographs, the physical transformation caused by contact with the light of the referent remaining even after the latter has decayed, quote unquote. Here we need to be mindful of light's unique touch. Quantum physicists speak of paired photons being entangled with each other across space and time. Many photons congealed in the starlit syzygy emulsions were entangled with partner particles elsewhere in the Milky Way and beyond. Cosmic aura. It's details. The precisely choreographed in situ invertebrate and reptile photogram making and plein air starlight exposure procedures repeated 15 times over 3.5 years lent the syzygy events the character of faux scientific ritual or ceremony, not unlike the site-specific actions of Andy Goldsworthy or Joseph Beuys. Syzygy's indexicality, both shadow and light, is therefore threefold. One of sense, the bodily and binocular memories of human participants, and two of record, the kinetic touch of creatures and plates imprinting image-holding film surfaces, and preeminently the photochemical punctum of ancient cosmic photons energising silver halides. All three phases of syzygy, the sourcing and making of the negative imagery, planar exposure method and film outcome, may be said to reflect on the digital revolution by virtue of the very absence of electronic imagery. The celestial images of syzygy employed some 120 astronomical 14-inch, that is about 367mm, square glass plate photographic negatives borrowed from what was at the time the private collection of Professor Rachel Webster in the Department of Physics at the University of Melbourne. Some of you may know who I'm talking about. The selections were drawn from a Northern Hemisphere series made by the Mount Palomar Schmidt Telescope in California, made in the 1940s and 50s, and Southern Sky pictures recorded by the Anglo-Australian Schmidt Telescope at Siding Springs in New South Wales in the 70s and 80s. Syzygy's remediation has a sole precedent, as far as I can find, in Thomas Ruff's 1989-92 Stern or Star series, in which Chilean La Silla glass plates, part of the same series in which the Palomar and Siding Springs images were made, observed plates were enlarged using traditional darkroom techniques. What critic Hennig Engel observed about Ruff's work is equally pertinent here. These re-representations of data as art inevitably point to the elusive synthesis dividing aesthetics and empiricism, and the enduring schism between the two cultures of science and the humanities, which of course we've dealt with over the last 2 days to some extent. Digital sensing has long superseded analogic astronomical photography, but scans of all three plate series, that is the Californian ones, the New South Wales ones and the Chilean ones, undertaken by the Royal Observatory in Edinburgh and available online, are the foundation for Google Sky and the prevailing database for contemporary professional astronomy worldwide. Though scientifically redundant, the original plates remain archetypal scientific documents, emblematic of empirical method, the Enlightenment, and modernity. They remind us that magnification optics and scientific photography have been essential to the emergence and continual refinement of the post-Copernican worldview. Both Stern and Syzygy illustrate that transforming scientific data into art through remediation might be the only way such evidence from a bygone age regains or retains cultural relevance. The formal resolution of the finished Syzygy films, trimmed and face-mounted on starfire glass panes, bordered by a circular black mask screen-printed on the opposite side, silently infer, silence has also appeared quite a few times in this 2 days, infer the glass astronomical survey archive, magnification optics, and of course the zodiacal wheel. In an otherwise degraded landscape, the invertebrates and reptiles gathered around Lake Tyrrell offer a bounteous and evocative iconography of locality, fragility, otherness, sociability, and mortality. Imaged at life scale, which is what they are, these creatures present a potent terrestrial planetary evolutionary knot, interdependent biosphere, and unimaginably vast and old universe. Efficacy of the project's imagined repairing of Earth and sky achieved through turning the lake into an optical planar aperture. But regardless of its success or otherwise, Syzygy was and is an unequivocally poetic act, inviting further dialogic and artistic response. Thanks.